I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
Manny, how you doing?
I'm doing good, my guy, man.
Yeah? How's the love life?
What love life?
You tell me, bro.
I don't have no love life. What about you?
Oh, it's so dead right now, bro.
Do you have your eye on anybody yesterday?
There was an attractive girl at the birthday dinner we went to. Bit of you, though. I think she's more you than me.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Bis, how are you?
Fantastic.
How's the love life?
Don't ask me stupid questions.
Actually, no, your love life is more interesting than the rest of us.
Oh, again.
I hate him.
Again? Well, you'll love him next week. He's always up and down. Okay. Say no more.
I want him to die!
The thing is, I like the fact that she knows he won't listen to this, so it's free smoke.
He actually might. Yeah. Who cares, though?
Real. Real?
You can't beat me.
Not in the way that you want to.
Real.
We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre, and we are back in the studio. It's been a while.
Yes, sir.
I feel like every time we come back in, I feel like we say it's been a while, but it probably hasn't.
It just always feels like it's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. But we see each other outside of the studio.
Quite often, yeah.
I feel like I've seen you guys quite often.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, there's been a few screenings and a few little interviews and stuff.
Yeah, but.
A few little interviews here and there.
Prayer.
I can tell where we're going with this pod today. I can tell where we're going with this pod today. Let's introduce our guest. This is a friend of the show and a friend of ours. The lovely and the one and only Case Boogie in the cut. You know the vibes. Yes.
Hi, guys.
She was technically the first person to ever be invited on the pod as a guest.
Was I for real?
Yeah. Oh. Wait, invited? You didn't do it.
I couldn't make it. Oh. I couldn't make it.
And this is, he said invited in a very, very particular
way. Yeah, I know, but...
What was the particular tone? I think you're trying to stir things up and you're just like egging her on.
I just wanted to know what was what, that's all.
I mean, I said what it was.
We'll see, bro.
Interesting.
But I think timing sometimes works in its way and it's worked out today. Really excited to talk to you about one of the shows, probably one of the shows of the year, if not the show.
Yeah, it might be top one for me.
You said that the other day, right?
Yeah.
You said that the other day. And it's so interesting because I feel like this show is kind of like come out of nowhere. Although it was around, I personally didn't hear about it until... this year, started seeing some bits on TikTok.
Yeah,
people talking about it on Twitter, and all of a sudden, it's one of the biggest shows of the year. So really excited to do that. But firstly, I'm gonna find out how you are. How are you, Case?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, I'm doing all right. Happy to be here.
Really excited to talk to you because you're a bit of a yapper as well.
I am a bit of a yapper.
I'm actually not a yapper.
Oh, come on.
That's where we differ. Girl.
Come on, man.
I'm a yapper. I'm a big time yapper.
They signed me.
No, come on.
She's a big liar.
Is there some lies you can get away with? Oh, come on. It's like saying you're not light skinned.
Would you look at me objectively and think I'm light skinned? Yeah,
that's
so funny.
Wait, hold on a second. Because we're not that far,
actually.
What?
No, that's
what?
So
what? Wait, do you use Fenty?
Nah.
Have you used Fenty before?
Yeah, but I don't.
Is he gonna lie about?
I think I'm
the shade, isn't it?
He's gonna lie about the shade.
No, I'm not.
What about you?
I think I'm 4:30 maybe.
The fuck is that?
Yeah, I know. Come on, guys.
Come on, there's a difference.
Come on now.
I'm like a 4:25.
Okay.
There's a big 5 shade gap.
Oh, no,
it's not a 5 shade. They jump in 5.
So yeah. 420, 45,
420. But I can't use that.
You can never beat the eye test. You can never beat the eye test.
Yeah,
the eyes sound very different.
But I wouldn't call you light skin. I wouldn't. I'd say she's brown.
But she wouldn't call you light skin.
No, I wouldn't.
I like the dramatic effect that Case left in the answer to your question as well before she actually answered it.
Oh, yeah. It was a long pause. Yeah. There was a long pause.
I had to take my time to think. Yeah. But you're not.
Why
you're
did
not,
you have to get down to think?
Nah, she's brown. Come on, guys, man.
Come on, guys.
She's brown.
What are you?
Me?
Yeah. She's brown, what are you?
I'm...
Like, come on, let's break it down.
I like...
What are you actually, bro?
Come on, we're not the same, dog.
No, come on, let me see.
Hello, man. Why did you put your hand up to my... Be serious.
I want to go for me closer than that. I didn't realise it would
be
that
serious.
I actually got to try.
You see, if you put your hands together, it's like a picture they take for interracial couples.
Bro, not...
Off.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I didn't expect it to be that much.
Yeah,
but you're lighter than me. lighter. But she's brown. She's brown.
Yeah, very fast. Yeah,
she's brown. She's brown. It's all good.
But yeah, industry season 3. The show's been about for a while now. But season 3 came out this year. The Americans got it first.
Yeah.
So we were playing catch up, but essentially, I feel like all four of us were playing catch up in the sense of we hadn't started watching the series until, let's say, even maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Yeah.
Manny, talk to me about how you came across the series and what caught your attention before you actually started watching it.
I actually saw like quite a few clips on TikToks for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Like randomly, but I never paid any attention because, again, I haven't really heard anyone speak about it. One of my friends, she messaged me at the start of the year.
I'm going to guess it was Tuds.
It wasn't Tuds. I brought Tuds in.
She's normally quite locked in.
Yeah, she is. Like, she brought me into The Bear. She brought me into... There's something else, Succession. So yeah, she brought me to The Bear Succession. YouTube did.
Friend.
No, she is.
For real.
Hello?
It was Gaz and Tuds that brought him into both shows. Yeah. Good friends. One of my friends, she messaged me earlier this year, told me to watch Industry. I was like, yeah, sure. Paid it, don't mind. It was only like just around summertime. I don't know, was it you that started it first? I think it was. Yeah. And I think you were talking about it.
Yeah.
You've actually finished season one before I started it. And then I started watching it. Because actually, Gaz has the best recommendations when it comes to TVs and shows and films. So yeah, I started watching it and just got locked in.
Locked in, man.
Yeah, man.
Mm. What about you, Biss? What was your journey into the series? You kind of started it probably before I did, in a sense, you was watching it.
Yeah.
So talk to us about that.
So I watched it for the first time when it first came out.
Oh.
But the only reason was because I finished watching Waterloo Road. I was rewatching it, and it came up as a session.
Yeah.
I play it.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, I started watching it, but I just wasn't focusing. Right. So I was like, I'll come back to this one day. And I think I rewatched the first episode like 2 or 3 times. And then you were like, you wouldn't like it. And I took that to heart. I was like, no, yes, I would. How dare you?
So you watched our stomach this.
No, to be honest, I was like, I'm going to watch it, but I'll come around to it eventually.
Yeah.
Or I'll just do the thing where I'll watch it like 5 years later and be like, hey, it was the greatest show ever.
Mm.
Then I watched it when you told us to, that episode, literally, the night time, the next day, I think it was when I got home, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to watch it, and I finished it, very, very quickly.
Why was you able to get, before we actually talk about season 3 itself, why was you able to get through that so quickly? What was it about the show that kind of caught your attention?
It's so fast-paced.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much happening all the time, it's so fast-paced, and also, I really enjoy all the excessive jargon.
Mm.
Like, I couldn't tell you one banking term, but I'm
hang on.
For real.
Yeah.
For real,
450
guys.
On the short, come on.
Yapping, you're like, yeah,
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 absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, fucking hell, guys, really? We're down this quarter, guys. Shit.
We're down this quarter.
What are we going to do, guys?
Make me sick.
I'm at the table like, fuck, what are we going to do, guys? We're down this quarter. And so-and-so's done that. No,
yeah.
Crazy. We might, like, I'm really locked in like that.
Yeah, for real, should be.
Then I just finished it. And I messaged you guys in the group chat being like,
hurry up.
Guys, like, have you guys watched this episode yet? And they were like, what, season 2? As in, like, the next season.
Golly.
Like, yeah.
Man.
And then he was like, on episode 1, I was like, for fuck's sake. So I started watching season 3.
Mm.
Yeah. Well,
this is when the Americans were getting it weekly and we hadn't got it.
Okay, got it.
It's had to, because I'd finished it now. And it's,
of course,
it's in the same time frame. So I'm like, I need to watch this new season. So I've finished season 3 before it came out on iPlayer. I think, no. There was only 2 episodes I watched on iPlayer.
Because
I might as well wait for these 2. And then even then I was like,
might as well wait for these 2. Don't wait for us.
I tried to.
No, you didn't.
Every time he said that he was watching it, I'd be like, can you hurry up? Can you hurry up?
You'd message me, we ran up time, have you watched it yet? I was like, nah.
Yeah, because we're like, we need to discuss the final episode. That's the reason. I'm like, fucking hell, guys, please. And then, you know, did you guys finish it on the same day? Like an hour apart, because you both sent me the same voice note being like, oh, you're right, she is misunderstood, but she's still an awful woman, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, same thing. I mean, like, yes, brilliant TV. Guys, man.
Do you think you have an addictive personality?
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I don't.
You just,
No, because I thought I did, but I remembered that I stopped vaping quite easy.
Right, boom.
Look at you.
And I can stop drinking quite easily.
Purr.
I think it's just TVs. TVs? Fucking hell.
Yeah.
TV shows, it's okay.
You'd think she'd had some tequila, wouldn't you? Case, you want to talk to us? You want to talk to us about your journey into the show and what you took from maybe season 1 and 2 heading into season 3?
So I had a similar experience to you in that I had watched the first episode. When I watched it again this time around, I was like, I've seen this before. I remember that this happened with this guy. I've definitely seen it before. So my brother-in-law had recommended the show to me like 1.5 years ago. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I watched it this time around. I finished it in, 48 hours? Somebody that has a job. I was so
jobless. Do you really have
jobless.
A job, though?
I don't know, man. I was going through that thing. I literally had 2 screens. I had Industry on one. I had
she didn't buff once.
But, I mean, honestly, no, but it was, in terms of,
in terms of, what was the question in regards to season one and two versus three?
No, you threw off when you said you didn't watch.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, season one and two, just like what you took from those two seasons.
Okay. So what I took from them, I think it's less about what I took from season one and two versus the contrast between them and season three. Mm. I just feel like, obviously everyone's mad. Like, we know everybody's mad, yeah? I feel like season three, I understood a lot of people a lot more.
Right?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the thing is, when there's no good guy and there's no bad guy, and it's just everybody's just nuts, like, I have no choice but to just try and relate to you in a different way. Yeah. I feel like I got that a lot in season three. Right. Season one or two, I was just seeing a magazine every single episode. Like, it was just something
can
else.
Can we talk
like,
about that?
Yeah, please.
It was a lot, man.
Golly, yeah. Man.
But I think that's the reason season three was so good, because there was a lot less of that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot less.
Okay.
Because obviously I watched it so quickly. Yeah. So I actually remember, like, being like, oh my gosh, sex every single
yeah, time. Yeah, literally.
Please, put it away. And then by season three, it was like, there was too much happening. You actually couldn't have sex.
Yeah, well.
Like, for me, it was less the sex. It was more the drugs intake that was, like, quite shocking, like, the regularity of it. Obviously, going off what we know from people in the industry, that's quite a common thing. But actually seeing it viscerally on screen, like scene by scene, episode, like moment by moment, was quite like, took me aback a bit, more so than the sex scenes. But
yeah. No, I think the sex scenes were quite intense.
That's
the reason. Very intense.
Whereas the drugs is like, how like discreet can you be when you're doing like a bump? Do you know what I mean? Mm. I think there's no way to make that like discreet. Whereas the sex scenes, you can make it a bit more like, a bit more hidden.
No, they were out there. Listen,
I don't think
David Johnson was out here shagging his life. Yeah.
I don't think it would have worked as well if it wasn't as intense as it was.
Yeah, agreed.
I think it needed to be, and I think also like, gives a good insight in terms of how high pressure those jobs actually are.
Yeah.
That they constantly have to get relieved. Find a release elsewhere. Yeah. It wouldn't have slapped as much if it wasn't as brazy as it was.
I always speak about how much I hate sex scenes, and I think I need to rephrase that. I hate sex scenes that make no sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or there's no somewhat context to it. Mm. I think shows like this year kind of remind me of How to Get with Murder. Mm. There were quite a few sex scenes in there, but I still feel like they're kind of relevant to the plot. Mm. They're almost needed to push the story forward a bit. Not always, but just a tiny bit.
I agree.
Whereas you've got other shows where it's just like, okay, this is a couple. They're obviously going to have sex, so we're just going to show that they have sex and go about your regular day. And it's like, I don't really need to see your dick like that.
Yeah, real.
No way. Tape it down.
And it was realistic as well. I think that's what I liked about it is like, it wasn't romantic sex a lot of the time. It's just like, either it's to fill a void or like, to keep the narrative of like someone's character going, do you know what I mean? That's why I felt like it was useful in that sense. I didn't necessarily see it as like I'm not going to get off on this. Like, this is just needed. It's for the plot, do you know what I mean?
Did you guys have any favourite characters from the first two seasons?
Before we do, just one quick add thing as well. The sex scenes and even the drug scenes add to the characters themselves. But also, as I realised, in season three, we got a lot less of the sex and the drug scenes. Mm. And I think it's because we had less of a focus
on the trading floor.
Yeah, exactly. Of the pressures of actually working within Pierpoint. And they had issues outside of working Pierpoint. And I think because of that, we got less of the sex scenes because we didn't need them as much.
But. Yeah, Mickey Down on Comrade K, so the show creators, actually spoke about this in the interview, which I think you might have seen. I don't know if you have, with IndieWire. And essentially, they said they took a lot of their experiences from working on the trading floor when they graduated onto the series itself. Mm. So a lot of the things they saw. So Rishi is a character that's literally based on someone they worked with when they were in the
That's
series.
Funny.
But they were also quite scared to delve away from that because that's all they had known. So with season three, they were taking a big sort of jump with what they did in terms of exploring the themes and stuff that they did, which we'll get into. And they also spoke about, what was it? They mentioned the fact that, I'll get back to it later because it slips my mind. But yeah, really, really interested to talk about season three. Manny, what did you, going into season three, it opened up with the scene with Yasmin on the boat. Did that catch you off guard? How did you find that sort of juxtaposition from the previous two seasons?
It did catch me off guard a little bit because how we left Yasmin and her dad at the time, like she was broke, her dad literally locked her off, everything, and I was wondering what she's doing on the boat. I don't think do we get a scene with her dad right at the beginning? Does she walk in on her dad?
She walks in
right at the beginning.
Is that the first episode?
Yeah. She walks in on her dad.
I know it's the first episode. I don't know if it's the first scene.
It's probably first episode, yeah.
It did kind of catch me surprise.
She's in her bed.
Yeah.
We'll talk about There's only two people actually hitting that show.
And he's one of
them. Yasmin's dad.
And Nicole.
The only two people actually despise.
I think those are the only people that you're actually truly meant to hate. Yeah, everyone else you're meant to... You can empathize and understand.
Exactly.
And I think that was intentional because they're the only two people that get offed. Yeah. Well, spoilers if you haven't watched it.
You know, it's interesting with the end of season two, they wrote that without knowing whether there would be a season three. So they said, if this ends now, we're going to end it with Harper being fired from Pierpoint. So when they've actually got a season three, they saw it as an opportunity to pivot away from Harper's focus, which she's like the central character.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, well, Yasmin's story with her dad hasn't necessarily been further explored. So we can dive into that instead with season three, which is what they went to do.
Oh, see. Do you know what? I feel like I don't know if you guys felt this, yeah, for the first two seasons, Harper was the only one, but I can wholeheartedly say it, was good at her job.
100%.
Or like,
do you think
or she
so?
Was,
yes.
Or, I don't know, Eric? Good at her job, yeah? No, okay. Every like shady or fucked up thing she did was for the betterment of everyone, or you can actually see, you can understand it, or it's for the job. I think everyone else, like, I can't, just other like, decisions people made, I was like, I actually can't understand why you've done that. 100%. But for Harper, I was like, I actually understand why you've done that. Like, you're being a prick, don't get me wrong, but I can actually, I get it.
100%.
She done things out of selfishness. There's even that time when she had to book a, I guess a trade again. I don't know these terms.
Oh, yeah, it's cool, bro. None of us.
Exactly, guys. I'll be locked
no,
in.
No, before that, she lied about.
Was this season two?
This was season. I think it was season two.
That was a great scene.
And we were right at the beginning, and she lied about the booking in terms of what currency the person used. Yeah. And then when she saw that, the money's gone back up in the trading, she could have sold.
Yeah.
And she cut her losses. She's like, nah, let me keep this going.
She's a big risk taker.
And she fucked up.
Yeah, she's a risk taker.
Yeah, she is. But it's not for the betterment.
But then she sold the debt anyway, so they were fine.
Eric
bailed her out of that one.
She tried to sell the debt. It didn't work. Eventually, owned up to Eric because, like, Eric fucked up.
Yeah.
But, like, she's not doing it for the betterment of the job. She's doing it for herself. It's selfish.
Yeah, I don't think she's doing it for the betterment of the company. I think she's very selfish.
She's very, very selfish.
But I see it as, like, her ability. She just wants to win, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think that's
and that's the part that I'm like, do you know what?
Because facts.
So
that's why
before,
Eric acts or
something. Exactly. This is exactly what it is. Like, he sees himself in her and she is just like such a go-getter. That's why I didn't have any favorites as I was going through it, yeah. But when I watched the first two seasons, I was like, do you know what, Harper? I hear it. Because she just wants to win.
Yeah.
And like, she's come from New York, do you know what I mean? Like, she wants a better life for herself and she just wants to do that. So just like let her do it. Do you know what I mean? I didn't see it. I didn't see it as like her being reckless. She definitely was reckless.
Yeah.
But I saw it as like, do you know what? Above all else, like, bro, I've just got to succeed.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
she did. So I have to rate her for it.
Like, any if she didn't make those decisions, it just wouldn't work. That's stupid. If she didn't make decisions, it wouldn't work because it was so honest and true to her character.
Yeah, exactly.
Then that's why I appreciated it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But she is a piece of shit.
Yeah, and they all are.
Yep.
And they all are.
I don't know if they all
not
are.
Not everybody.
One person that I give a blight to. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not
maybe
him.
One and a half.
Who's the half?
You guys can say Rob.
Rob gets a half.
Wait, who gets a whole? Who gets a whole blight?
Yasmin gets a whole
Yasmin.
Black.
Yasmin gets a whole
yes,
blight.
She's still a bad human being, so there's.
No, yes, no. Yasmin?
There's no way.
Yasmin?
There's no way.
I've been riding for Yasmin since season one.
No.
Since season one, since she made him eat it, I knew.
See, this is why you're
tapped. It was deeper.
I understand, and like, I hear it for Yasmin. She's still a piece of shit.
No.
Remember when we were talking about House of the Dragon and we was doing whole context for characters? And she's like, no, you can't give context to, what's his name? The two brothers.
Yeah.
I said, you can't give it to them and not give it to their mum.
And we did.
I said, you guys are saying, oh yeah, the boy, da 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 da, but you're like, yeah, but she's a shit mum. And I'm like, that's so unfair because she's been through the same thing that they've been through. She's just like, she's a piece of shit. But they're also pieces of shit.
Yes.
But it passes down. But you guys were only making it her problem and not like their
own
shit.
No.
I remember this. I remember fighting on that live every Monday. I tuned in to fight. That's every Monday.
Yeah, you did to be fair.
But I stand by it. Yasmin is misunderstood. And she's been misunderstood since the first episode. And I stand with Yasmin.
I stand with Yasmin as well. And I do stand with people that are pieces of shit. She's a piece of shit I stand with.
I love Yasmin.
We'll get to her.
And that's fine. But she's still a piece of shit. But
we'll get to her. One of the things that I actually really want to delve into, which I think season three differs from the first two, is the way that it focuses more on the individual character arcs for Robert, Yasmin and Harper. But more importantly, I think this was done beautifully, the way like the intersection of like finance, class, politics and media, and the way they intertwine them. And it very much reminded me, I think you made the point to me before, of The Wire. The way season one and two had its different themes, but like they all came to, sorry, okay, I know you ain't seen it yet. You haven't, have you?
You've seen The Wire? Do you want to borrow and box it?
No, I don't, man. I need to see it through. It's fine.
What, you don't want to watch it?
No, I do. I just can't get past season two, man. It's like, get me out the docks.
Thank you.
Get me out of the docks.
Get me out of the docks. It's so funny.
Please.
Everyone has the same.
Annoying.
Everyone
oh
has
my
it.
Goodness.
But every single person that's watched it, after they finish the season,
they're like, it's the most important seat. All right,
I don't think it's, man. Like, it's not the most.
Oh, there you go then. I've got to see it through.
It's an important
just
season.
Just get through it. Just get through it. I did the same thing. I skipped the dock scenes though. Some of them I was like, they were fucking pissing me off. Every time I heard the seagulls, I started sighing.
Fuck's sake, bro. Every time I see that, damn you. Come on,
that stupid crate. A crate and a seagull pissed me off, man.
Nah, bro.
You find a new way to disappoint me every week.
I don't think I understand how much it pissed me off. I'd be like, oh.
It's not a severe. I can't see it through.
There was one time I did.
You have to.
I've watched season one twice. I really enjoy it. I get season two,
it's not even top two.
Well, let me get through the talks, bro. I'm just finding it really hard.
Once you get through the talks, you'd be like, wow.
Can I skip it? Just be honest with me. Can I?
You can't.
And I would tell you if you could. I promise you.
Season three and four are the top two seasons.
And there's so many things to have in season three or four, even season five, that relate back to season two.
Season five, it's like that's the school one.
Season
four, oh my gosh, it's the best season.
Yeah, season four is the best.
I'm always stuck between three and four, which one's my favourite.
Yeah, same.
It's more than three and then five.
I'll report back soon.
But I think this season did a great job of like bringing those different themes into one season rather than separating them.
Yeah.
Which is why I did, I guess, a bit more. But the introduction of Henry Mark, how did you guys find his character and Kit Harington, people call him Jon Snow. Did you think his character made sense for the series?
Absolutely.
The season and why so? Manny, you can...
He's my... Because I think like every season they have a character that's kind of outside of Pierpoint but has such an effect on...
Season two.
Yeah. Who would have been season one? I think there's a few. I think like it would be like Nicole. It would be the guy that Eric pissed off.
Cole Craig.
We'll get into that witch. But... Kit Harington is my favourite one season character of industry. I really appreciated just him as a character. He was fun. It was enjoyable. It was really funny as well.
So funny.
It was just like.
But I couldn't tell if I was laughing because I felt like Jon Snow was pretending to be a finance guy or like I found him actually funny.
I think it was actually funny. His character was really well written. His character was.
Any moments that stand out to you guys from.
His fight with Rob.
Yeah.
No. And when the kid walks in.
Oh, yeah. That's great, right?
Yeah. That was good.
No, it's when he asked.
That was my standout scene.
When he gets Yasmin to piss on his leg.
Yep.
That is you guys are outside the seat.
No, but when he goes, you try to justify like I'm not a pervert.
Yeah.
Oh,
for intimacy.
Yeah. And it's so funny.
But all right.
You kind of sold it.
You are definitely
a pervert. I reckon you should have done anyway. The funniest scene is when I think he lied right before his company went into the public domain.
Right.
Mm. And then they had to have a meeting the next day. Mm-mm. And as he's doing the meeting, Ben just runs off. He gets up and runs off. That is the funniest.
Yeah.
No, he's a class act.
Yeah, agreed.
Class
act. Agreed. Yeah. I think I texted one of you when I started watching. I was like, what the fuck is Jon Snow doing here? But no, I think it was a good addition. And I think he carried what you were saying in regards to like class and that. I think... Obviously, Yaz had touched on it a bit with her kind of narrative, but I think he brought it to the show really, really well.
Yeah, and
everything it came with, I guess, as well.
Yeah, and the way his like his family members and the people that they were associated with were sort of controlling the media, and then the way the politics intertwined. I can't remember the black lady's name. But she's a piece of shit as well.
Insane.
Oh yeah.
Find a justification.
Okay, I wanna hold my hands up.
Oh my gosh.
I really struggle when they make the villain the black woman. When they made Harper like a bit of a bad guy, I was like, not my Harper.
Not too much, yeah, not too much. Yeah.
Justified. She's the only one that's like.
So this is one of the things that I try to speak about whenever I speak about industry with people when they say, oh, I don't like Harper. And I'm like, that's how she's been written intentionally. You're not meant to like her. You can still enjoy the character because you can have multifaceted characters.
That's how you know the show's being written well, when you don't like a certain person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You talk about it all the time with Scandal. I hate the president, but I think he's...
Oh, Fitzgerald.
But he's written so... He's a piece of shit.
Mm.
Entitled, annoying, and I fucking hate him. Anyways,
you like him?
When it's written so well... Why do you like him?
A little bit, man. I think
you had yourself. You hurt yourself. Because I have a bang here, sector. Because it hurt to have so much money.
It's not that I like him so much as like I just get it in it. Like,
what do you get?
He's just a consequence of like
of
his privilege. You know what I mean? Like, he's not anything. I don't like love him more.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get why you are the way you are. Do you know what I mean?
He called Melly Smelly Melly when she's grieving that you're too busy flagging
right.
your mistress.
Yeah, it's not right.
How
yeah,
dare
it's
you?
Not right.
How
he's an nice piece of work for that. Yeah, yeah.
He's wow. a bad guy.
Hey,
love bad wins, guy. Though, isn't it?
Speaking of Harper, speaking of Harper, though, to be fair, she's not really a, like a central focus of season three. Do you think that's a miss? Do you think we missed her being a central? Or did you enjoy her sort of journey with, I forgot the name of the company, but she's working with Petra. Mm. Did you enjoy, guys enjoy that sort of pivot for her?
I did miss her a bit.
I did, like, yeah.
And why so?
Yeah.
Because I feel like she was so important the first two seasons. And also, I do think she's the most dynamic out of all of them. Mm. She's the most vocal. She goes against like everything you're meant to be if you come to like a black woman in the workspace.
Yeah,
like
real.
Even when she had her nose piercing in, and Eric was like, "Why is there like metal in your nose?"
Oh, you kettle. Yeah.
But I think it's just every like, even the senior when she's selling something to Rishi.
Is that season three?
No, it's season two.
When she was going like this,
yeah, she's going like that, yeah. But she basically she sold it to him as opposed to getting him to sell it to her for Jesse Bloom. So kind of like fucked him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like there's little things she does. I'm just like, your character is so missed on like the floor, on the training floor. It's really missed. But I did like the introduction of Sweet Pea.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed
yeah,
that.
I think there's a really nice touch here when people bring in they modernize shows without it being
cringy
because Sweet Pea is like, really good at her job.
Yeah,
she actually really is good at her job. But she is like she's on OnlyFans, but she's vlogging the whole day.
Yeah.
Like she is. The right. average Google person.
Like, yeah.
Episode one, she's there like vlogging the day.
The day in her life.
It felt quite realistic. But as you said, she's a multifaceted character. Yeah. She can be more than one thing. Right?
Yeah, I like it. I really, really enjoy it. I think
yeah, I agree
when we lost Harper, I was like, I'm glad we kind of got someone like her.
Yeah.
And her bringing the that whole fuck up at the end of the season.
She brought that to life, man. Yeah.
I think, and I really enjoy their monologues and how long they are.
Yeah.
And how, and I told you, the jargon, guys. Because I could not tell you what Sweet Pea was talking about.
But you feel it.
Real, yeah, yeah.
I was like, fucking your accent is really good. Because I'm like, shit, guys, what are we going to do
it's
about
fucked,
point?
Yeah.
Guys, we're actually fucked. What we
yeah,
do?
Yeah, yeah.
We're on the division. We really tried to move elsewhere. I'm like, guys, like, they're going to take us to New York. You know what I mean? I'm really locked in with them. And I think the way Sweet Pea like, explained it, I was like, your acting is so good. And so is Eric's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Eric's always someone I hate.
Yeah, severely, actually, yeah.
I hate you guys have Yasmin, I have Eric.
I can't lie.
We don't hate. None
you
of
hate
us
hate. Yes, for real.
No, I like right. Yasmin
I think
a lot.
I said it once and I've
been rhyming it, yeah,
but,
fair.
But back to Harper, I wouldn't say that I definitely missed her, but also it's a testament to the writers to take away a character that's so pivotal within the first two seasons and give us such little time in season three, but still to be written so well, because we still saw a character arc within Harper with the little, not little, but more reduced screen time.
Yeah,
but we still got like a great character arc. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we'll be able to, I've gotten the Yasmin, Rob, and even Eric arcs, if we didn't.
Eric especially. Yeah,
if we didn't push Harper out of the way.
Rishi.
For a little while. We got a whole episode of Rishi. We would never be able to do that if we had.
I've been pronouncing his name wrong. It's Rishi.
Oh, Rishi.
Rishi.
My guy. He's not
my guy.
He's kind
of. I like him a lot. He's a piece of shit, but
he's
I like him a lot.
Relief. He's yeah. relief. But he's also like.
Piece of shit.
But he's not even just a piece of shit.
He's a horrible human being.
Like, where
I
is your
think
head
he's
at?
A piece of shit.
Oh, he's a big piece of shit, bro.
I don't think he's a piece of shit.
We'll get to why he is definitely a piece of shit. But anyway, testament to writers in terms of giving us all of that and still making the season what it was.
Yeah.
But having, like, essentially your main character not being the main character in the first season. But yeah.
As you said, it takes us to Yasmin instead, so we can now dive into one of our favourite characters from the show. For me, one of the best written characters I've seen in quite some time.
Agreed.
Really enjoyed the acting from Marissa Abella, who plays Yasmin.
She
was Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse,
Didn't know that until recently.
Same.
Yeah. Completely different performance.
Breaks my heart, man.
Yeah.
What did you guys enjoy about this story for Yasmin? For me, I mean, I don't want to take away too much from you guys speaking. I just really enjoy when I get
talk.
Context.
Your talk.
No, I just really enjoy when we get context behind characters, but not just like sloppy context where it's like, oh yeah, here's a scene of something that's happened to her, and we move on. Like,
yeah.
It really takes us in and out of her story throughout the season, so it's not like it's not done in a linear manner. It's kind of like an adjacent story at times.
Yeah.
Back into the fore, which I think was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, how did you guys?
There was one scene that I didn't clock at the time. One of my brothers, she's watching it now. She just brought up the scene. It's a scene where I think she drops her pen in front of the in season two, the MD, the blonde woman that she ends up.
Mm-hmm.
She drops
the
pen.
The one she ends up having sex with.
Yeah, yeah. She drops the pen and the woman's like, pick it up. Like, obviously being dominant.
Wait, sorry.
Excited.
Yeah.
But when she brought up that scene, it made me realise, I don't think the Yasmin character would have allowed that to happen if it happened if a man said that to her.
I disagree.
What?
No, she would. She wouldn't.
She's
she
too dominant.
She doesn't. She doesn't. She doesn't allow men to treat her in a sexual term. She doesn't. And I think that adds to
she lacks being in
she's
control.
The dominant. Yeah,
with men. She lacks being in control when it comes with men. And when she brought up that scene, it made me realize. Right. That's. I feel like whatever we get from season three, maybe it wasn't planned from season one. But it was definitely in their minds because the way that she interacts with men from season one onwards and the way that she shoots Robert, the way that she shoots Henry, the way that she flips out Eric, it all makes sense because of the real reveal that
I
we get in
the
season.
The only turning point for her was the Kenny scene in season one when I think he takes her to the strip club or that restaurant place, wherever they were.
Yeah.
And I think the woman was dancing and she felt so, so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really ever see her allow men to talk to her away other than her father.
Because it probably reminded her of her, that scene.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
moment, sorry.
To be honest,
Man,
like Kenny. I think that exact moment is when I realised that I liked Yasmin that much.
Which, where, sorry?
The strip club scene.
Oh, okay.
I think that provided me with enough context for me to like her. I actually didn't, like, even if she was, because we don't know if she actually was sexually assaulted, I think it's so, I think we're meant to believe it. Yeah.
But
I think it was Manette that told me that the writers don't know yet if it's actually happened or not. And I don't think I even needed that season three for me to be like, provide context. I think there's enough in there from that.
Yeah.
From that scene in the strip club to be like, yo, she's just not right here. Like, it's not... This Fair, is
I
not
didn't
right
see
here.
It that way.
And I think that was enough for me. And then seeing how she then treats men in general, in a sexual term, I think that was just like, oh, that's all the context you kind of need of her. But I did, like, and there was a couple moments here, I'm like, you are actually trying to be a good person, you just don't know how to balance it out. Like, when she gets Rob to eat his cum, don't get me wrong, it is, in context, quite a wild thing to say, But even her being like, oh, sorry,
I was like, more on Rob. If we're being very real.
Yeah, because you could have said no.
No, you could have said no, but it's her saying, like, it wasn't her, like, saying, you have to eat it.
Yeah.
Like, she was shallow testing the boundaries.
Yeah, and then she was like,
oh, bro, I would have crumbled. I won't even lie.
No, I'm not gonna lie.
I'm going to lie. Huh? I would have crumbled.
What does crumble mean?
What do you think of me?
What do you mean by that?
Don't ask the question. Call like that's he did say.
Don't them silence you.
They never will.
There's a number of times she had Rob. Though. You know when they were in the gym.
Yeah.
Man. In front of him. Like, there was a number of times she just had Rob. But I like the fact that in season two. Rob slowly but surely starts to like just grow as a person.
Yeah.
Like easily valuable to her and her demands and so on and so forth. And by the time we get to season three, the dynamic is completely flipped where anytime she actually tries to apply any pressure, he loves her so much he doesn't want to fold to the And I really like that for Rob. As much as it, I think Yasmin needed someone in one sense, she needed someone like Rob, but she also needed another character.
Yeah.
To get into later.
Yeah.
Which she managed
Do you know what, there was So, do you know the scene where she has the house party?
Season one?
Yeah.
Season one.
When she met with her mum and then she came back?
Right? So, Harper and Rob are like lips in. And it's actually for a threesome,
That was the most one of the most uncomfortable scenes.
Oh, it made it was so uncomfortable.
The writing's insane in this year because I genuinely feel like, like your whole time is like, please, everyone stop. Everyone just stop.
Yeah, I felt so uncomfortable.
That's when we realised that Yasmin, she's always had her way. When it comes to guys, and she's been able to kind of like fold them, bend them however she wants to. And the idea of someone like Rob wanting Harper, and she still loves Harper as a friend and whatnot, but I just can't imagine that.
That relationship was weird in itself.
Yeah, so being like, why would you have her when you could just have me? But like, why would that be the case? So her coming through and being like, basically we should have a threesome, but almost demanding a threesome, but still taking Rob away, it was like, this isn't. And Harper stepping back and looking at the situation, I think she kind of got to see it from our eyes.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, yo, we're going to just stop this. And I think it's crazy because her and Rob still don't have sex. She don't have sex in that scene. And it's like, it's just, it's kind of a manipulation thing. Because we won't have sex with him. It's the fact that someone else could have was already too much for her.
Someone else happens.
Yeah. But I still stand up Harper.
I appreciate the role of that scene because we could have left that scene feeling way more comfortable than it was. But because they gave Harper an agency back towards the end of that scene, it was like, it felt well written. But so many shows and films that we watched that would have had that scene is would have just felt more awkward towards the end.
Yeah.
But again, shout out to writers, man. I think there's a great
job.
Especially for a show that has a lot of sex in it And like I said, I didn't really care for sex scenes beforehand. And when you don't care for it, you don't really understand why you don't care for it. Mm. But when you look back as an adult and watch back those scenes, right? You see like the issues that you have within those scenes. Mm. But now, like for industry specifically, it just feels more more intentional in terms of like how each person interacts with each other.
The point you made about them using it as a release was spot on.
Like, yeah.
You nailed it perfectly. Case.
Hi.
One aspect of the series and the relationship between Rob and Yasmin is the will they, won't they sort of thing.
Yeah.
Was you a fan of them being a thing? And how did that sort of...
I really wasn't.
Not even
really
after the montage?
Okay, the montage got me, yeah.
Okay.
But my thing is, and always will be, they are both extremely troubled in their own ways.
Yeah.
And the things that they need, they can't do for each other. So actually, it's really unfortunate watching them together. So that threesome scene that we were just talking about made me very uncomfortable in a lot of ways, but mainly because even in that moment where it felt like Rob is supposed to finally be getting what he wanted, she's still like just dragging him around and he's being dragged. Like, it's just, it's really awful. I couldn't see it in a way that like made me feel like it was ever an equal playing field, like where two people have come together because we want to do this thing and it's consensual and we're all on the same type of time. It felt like no matter what, and maybe that's because of the dynamic that's previously been established, it's just like, if we go back to what we were just talking about when they were at the gym and like him being on the treadmill and she's like up in the level so he can run fast. I'm just like, fucking hell, man. Rob, on, like, get up.
It's
like,
not normal, bro.
Yeah, so it's just not right. So I'm just like, no matter what happens, it will always be a situation where I feel like Rob just won't, and Rob just won't be enough.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what we ended up seeing. And with everything that I feel like Rob has gone through, like in his life, his background, and the things that make him who he is as a character, he can't afford to be with somebody that does not see him as enough. So every time that they got together, so I'm just like, please, let's just like, I just never wanted it to happen. I'll be real. Like, obviously, in terms of from a sexual standpoint, oh yeah, like, hurry up and do it already. Fine, that's on the surface. But so outside
I'm
of that,
got done, though.
Yeah, I'm glad you got done.
Yeah.
No, because it wasn't even just, it was like, that whole
it was
scene
really
there,
like it was love for real.
Like,
Yeah. And that's why for me it was the best kind, because they actually felt like peers. Do you know what I mean? But any other time before that, it wouldn't have been that way. Yeah. So I wouldn't have enjoyed it at all. So
interestingly, the showrunners, so Mickey Down, Conrad Case, said for the first two seasons they were afraid to do a will they won't they storyline for any type of character.
Yeah.
Or like the mystery behind Yasmin's dad. And the reason being, because they didn't want to fall into like the tropes of like typical TV tropes of like will they, won't they, right? But they learned that you can actually still have great character moments and character storytelling through those will they, won't they. And I think we saw that with the Yasmin and Robert storyline, because it actually had me gripped.
Yeah.
Like, especially the last episode, I think it was.
Yeah, the last episode. Yeah.
I was locked in when they were making love.
Oh,
I was,
man,
like, my boy, finally.
Finally, man.
But then when she looked at him across the dining table, when she said, tell me you love me, and I think they did a callback scene.
It's just,
like, two episodes before.
Yeah.
When she said, I know how to get men to love me.
Yeah.
I knew it was a wrap.
Yeah.
I knew it was a wrap.
The thing that's Max here, I didn't really care for them two before the montage. And when they did the montage,
really?
I did not care for them two. Not as in them two together.
Mm.
I just didn't think that would ever be a thing.
Why? I thought it was quite obvious.
I didn't think it would ever be a thing.
Mm.
Because the way that she treats him,
I just
didn't think that, like you mentioned, the power dynamics is a bit too off. But I didn't ever think that would be a thing until that montage scene. Fair. Even after that sex, I thought that was just like a one-off, you keep it moving. But when I saw the montage, it kind of hit me, the fact that it make them two emotionally make sense to be together.
Yeah.
But obviously Yasmin still has issues that needs to get over, more so than Rob. I think Rob, after that, like, cause he smiles in the car.
Yeah.
He's smiling in the car when he realized, because he knew.
Yeah,
and I think he's happy for Yasmin.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm probably.
She got out of her tricky situation with the media and so on, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So she's managed to sort of navigate that whilst also being in and around what she's always known and loved.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which in one sense is a very messed up father, but in another sense is the class and the sort of privilege that comes with the lifestyle that she had before.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now she's back in a position being protected and essentially being looked after.
Yeah.
You get me?
You know, she is very like dominant when it comes to relationships and stuff, but she still constantly needs men to protect her.
Yeah.
And I think
that's the only way that she feels like she's in control.
Exactly.
I feel like the exact scene I clocked that was when he was doing the scratch card on the window. Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't think he obviously he said he doesn't do it to win. Yeah, he's just like the dopamine rush. But her being like, damn.
Brokey.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But even like more than that.
Fish and chips.
Yeah.
Chips when they're walking in, they've got like, what, you battered fish?
What's that?
Compared to what she's used to, it's a world apart, man.
Mm. And also, it's not lost on me the fact that Rob spent the whole three season having mommy issues. And then Yasmin obviously spent the whole life as daddy issues. Yeah.
Nice pivot. I want to get out to Yasmin's dynamic with her dad after, but the mommy issues, man.
Yeah.
Nicole. It's so sad. It's really sad, man.
She can rest in piss.
Truly.
We don't need to spend too long on her, but she definitely played a key role in sort of Rob's. She opened her eyes to Rob's, as you mentioned, like parental issues, which is like hinted at in the first two and a half, three seasons. But like very much comes to the fore in the fact that he's open and happy to sort of be in her presence, despite how abusive essentially she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he knew. She did the same thing to Harper, right?
100%. And she told him.
No, yeah, Harper said
And
that.
The same thing with the girl that he was dating.
With Venetia, yeah. That was unfortunate.
I think that's the only piece of shit that... Not piece of shit thing that Rod did, but he should have left.
I was talking to my friend and we were just basically talking about, like, you know, which characters we like the least and whatever. She was like, I hate Rob more than anybody on the entire show. I was so surprised.
Why did she say that?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I said to her. I was like, sorry, why? I don't understand. She was like... He knew that Nicole was abusive and he left Venetia, who technically, I mean, she is a mentee to him. She was a junior, like he was her direct mentor. And then they ended up in a relationship after he knowingly allowed her to like get assaulted by someone who's a known abuser. They ended up in a relationship. And even when they were in a relationship, he was still cheating on her with his abuser and the person that abused her as well. And I was like, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's true, but that's not how I saw it.
Like a cycle of abuse, right? Because he's still a victim, but he's also
absolutely
a perpetrator in a sense as well. Which means these characters can all be put in a sort of same sort of sphere of like, you've got bad in you, right?
Yeah.
Which I think makes them more interesting to talk about.
Mm, agreed.
It definitely works out. Yasmin's father.
Rest in piss, times 10. Mm. I don't think there's a character I hate more in that show. Not even close.
Yeah. There was a moment that we all thought she offed him, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
bro.
I texted you, know?
Yeah.
I was like, she killed him. She's gone. He's gone. What?
I remember said, guys, a voice note. Like, I think.
You did. Yeah, I remember.
I think she got a call saying that, because I thought she might have done a thing, didn't it? And then she got the call saying that,
they found the body. Yeah.
I sent a voice note to guys. I haven't finished the episode yet. Halfway through, I was like, bro, if we get to the end of the season and we find out that she offed him or she allowed him to die and Harper helped, I was like, I'll spin it. And then literally 10 minutes later, I said, I knew it. I fucking knew it.
That's why I didn't reply to you.
Yeah. I felt so wavy clocking that.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on sort of the dad dynamic? Do you think, I think his name's Charles.
We don't care.
Yeah, fair.
No, I despise that, man.
It's real. I think the scene that got me was when he threw the wine in the face. And just being in that position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah.
Weird.
Do you know, the wine in the face, yeah.
Her reaction was beautifully acted.
Mm. There are certain things, yeah, you're like, it can only get worse from here.
Mm. Yeah.
So if you're capable of doing certain things, or even being on top of your child like that.
Yeah.
Weird, bro.
I'm just like, let him die.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she shouldn't have felt any guilt.
No, but
I think at that moment I felt just so conflicted for her because she clearly still loves and respects her dad to a certain extent.
Of course.
Her dad, and all she's known is her dad, but also being like, this is a horrible human being. Like, you're doing all sorts on my bed. Like, why are you in my room? Like, you're just violating me at any chance you get, and you want me to see and you want me to be aware that you have all this control and like power over me.
Yeah,
I'm on the boat that you have named after me. Why should you do that with a random pregnant lady?
Yeah, real.
Do you know what's mad? It's not even that scene that got me the most. Is when she approaches him in the boat and says, "You done it in my room, so I could see."
So I could see.
That spun me because of course he did. Like, why else would you be doing it there?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that scene was rough, obviously, but. I think the scene for me where I first realised, okay, hold on, I don't really care for this, was when obviously she started working in private wealth management or whatever, that other place.
Oh, my God.
And he's bricked up for no reason.
For goodness sake, bro. Man, we're in a meeting, bro. Like, what?
What's arousing you right now?
Come on, like, I think that's the thing for me. Yeah. It just felt like it doesn't matter what she does. Like, it
you
doesn't. No, but seriously, it doesn't matter.
Because she was embarrassed, but she wasn't shocked. And that was her problem.
Exactly.
Clearly, something's like. something's not right here.
They've been giving us crumbs from the start.
Yeah, she was too familiar with it.
She was just like embarrassed for everyone else in the room. That's what pissed me off. I was like, this. And he came in tight short like that.
Cycling shorts, mind you. Crazy. Yeah, I feel like that for me, it just made me realise, actually, do you know what? It doesn't matter what she does. It doesn't even matter if she's good at her job, which we kind of seen that she's not very good at her job. Yeah. It doesn't matter if she's good at her job. She just can't escape him no matter what. I think that is when I was like, actually, I don't really care for you very much at all. And then obviously everything progressed in season 3. But yeah, I think that's why for me, I will never call Yaz... She's a piece of shit. We know she's a piece of shit, but I just feel like
she's just a victim, bro.
Yeah. I just feel like she's such a victim, honestly.
She's a piece of shit because she was a victim, and that's okay, bro.
I just can't call her a piece of shit if I know she's a victim. Nah. She's such a victim. She really is probably the most... Seriously, she's in bondage.
Yeah, but she's a piece of shit.
She battled for real.
I will stand with Yaz, but she's a piece of shit. Nah, it's okay to stand with somebody and recognise.
I just feel like... I can't see her as a piece of shit.
I really like Yaz. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't even like her. I just get it. Like, I just get it. I really hear it.
But then I think what the series does really well is then adding the sort of media scrutiny, paparazzi aspect of her story, which adds like further layers of like the misogyny and the dark nature of the media, which is still relevant today. I think we saw the Zendaya thing the other day with Tom Holland, right?
Yeah.
When he had to like pull her out of away from the paparazzi because
they'll be way too aggressive. Yeah.
That was crazy.
She's just disgusting in itself, and you'd think we would have moved on from that, but like they're tapped in to know that we clearly aren't. It's still a thing today, and Yasmin is like kind of felt like a mini Diana thing in a sense, where they were like tracking her throughout the series, and obviously the wealth aspects of her story as well, which I found really interesting.
I really did like her using it to her advantage when she could. Any chance she could get her power back, I was just like, please.
Yeah, more like her.
I was like, yes, your dad can rest in peace, but what can you gain from his death?
From his death, absolutely.
Because they're still... You guys are living in some shitty house. Also, I don't understand why they're all living in that shitty house, you know?
Because it's Rob's house.
He bought it.
And honestly, them not probably...
That was from the money from the guy that...
Yeah, that was.
Because you need to remember, Yasmin doesn't have money. She's broke right now. And obviously, Harper's probably just...
Yeah.
And Harper just wants to be close to Rob. Because the moment that Harper and Yasmin beefed, Harper just left overnight. She could have got a nicer place.
I think her and Rob still had... Like, they were cool. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Harper loves Rob.
Yeah.
I think Harper loves Rob.
In what context of love?
I don't know.
Romantic. Like,
I don't know if it's romantic.
Do you think? I think she does.
I don't think it's romantic.
I think based on season 1, even what Yasmin says to her when them two have the fight, I think, I can't remember verbatim, but essentially Harper says, oh, you can have everything in the world, but you're still like...
Season 1?
No, season 2, like right before she leaves, when they slap each other.
Yeah.
Like, even, I think season 1, them two come back from somewhere. I think maybe they even come back from the toilet. And Harper, I think something, one of the guys had done something, committed, like something happened to him.
Greg? He kept running through the thing. And then Harper was pissed off at the fact that she saw Yasmin and Rob lipsing up.
Yeah.
And she asked Rob to make sure you look after Greg because he's obviously going through something. Yeah. And then I think Harper flips out on Yasmin.
Yeah.
But I think one of the issues between them two is how Harper feels about Rob. About how Rob feels about Yasmin. Essentially a love triangle that Harper clearly likes Rob way more than Rob likes her, and that bugs her, especially for somebody that's always so determined and always somebody that gets what she wants. Maybe love's a bit too strong.
Harper's someone that's used to getting what she wants as well.
She's not used to... I'm not about used to getting something that she wants, but when she wants something, she wants
it. She wants it.
Yeah.
I get what you mean.
She doesn't get given stuff, but she works for it.
She goes to get it.
So maybe love is a strong word, but there's definitely an affection for it, for Rob.
I don't see it as romantic, but if I say what I'm going to say now, you'll think I'm mad. Basically, I feel like she saw Rob similar to how she would treat her younger brother if he was still around.
Yes.
Let's obviously take away the fact that like she tried to fuck him on numerous occasions. But outside of that, I feel like it was definitely
affection that she was.
Yeah, I feel so. When I see their dynamic, it's more that than anything else. So that scene that you're talking about where she went off on Yaz, it was more like why are you doing this to him?
Yeah.
Not like, oh, whatever she ended up saying. I feel like the way that she wants to look after him is the way an older sister would look after a younger brother. That's how I saw it.
I got you.
She's trying to mend her relationship with her brother through Rob.
Through Rob, yeah.
Interested.
Yeah.
Because even her and her brother's relationship made no sense. yeah. but made complete sense.
Yeah.
I think that's what...
It made no sense until you actually, them to have that conversation.
Yeah, and he's like, I couldn't, I wasn't even good at it and it was so stressful on my body, blah, blah. But like the way she talks about her brother being an athlete and stuff, like to everyone else, it's just...
They had that that's actually not where it was. Yeah, exactly.
The exact same event. Yeah.
Rishi. Episode 4.
What an episode.
Do you know what? What a fucking episode. What, when a series is really good is when it can completely throw you off what you're expecting to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I never expected a Rishi episode. I never expected
at all, ever.
I loved it.
It wasn't like, oh, we're going to dive into his past. It was like current day, this is what's going on in his life.
Yeah, real.
But it still made you understand everything he's done in the previous seasons and everything you see him do in the future episodes.
Yeah, good job.
When you can hear Rishi on the trading floor just yapping,
yeah,
he's not even in the scene. I love
the running commentary from him. Kills me.
Yeah,
it's the best. It only starts on season 2 as well. I wish it started for season 1.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And then the whole his back issues, which will play into like some of his mental health issues and the turmoil that he's going through in season 3. When I say turmoil, it doesn't mean it sort of takes away what he's done wrong. I guess the context of what he's going through in season 3, it was very relevant. But how did you guys find Rishi in season 3? And just episode 4 for me is one of the best episodes of TV I've seen this year. But I don't think that's going too far.
I don't think that episode, man, from
start to finish.
I think it's such a great episode, and again, like I will keep glazing writers because I think
I don't even think it's glazing. I think it's actually appropriate.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, but because I feel like that was such a risk to do a whole episode on Rishi specifically.
He's a supporting character.
Yeah. And okay, so I have a theory as to why Rishi was such a important character throughout season 3 and he got his own episode. I think it links and leads to season 4, what's going to happen in season 4. I feel like season 4 they're going to have more of a focus on how the money that essentially Peelpoint puts through essentially trickles down into illegality. Like in terms of like crimes, like for example the issue with gambling, and then I think also so good,
and his issues with Vinay as well,
the loan shark.
Yeah. So stuff along the lines, also issues with drugs, because we kind of moved away from drugs a little bit in season 3, but because Rob, he's going to Silicon Valley to do what's the drug, I can't remember, but yeah, I think he's eventually going to move back to London, and then we're going to have a deeper look into drugs within London or within the UK. Also Yasmin with the underage stuff, and also with Harper with the anti-fraud stuff. So I feel like season 4 is leading off to something that's more to do with how money causes people to commit crime in all different areas, because each of our main characters are within different areas of crime at the moment. And I feel like that's why they had the Rishi episode, for obviously to lead what happens towards the end of season 3, but also to open us up for what we might get for season 4. I will stand on that. And I'm looking forward to season 4 because of it.
Yeah, fair.
I found the episode so interesting as well, because whilst it gives you context to like what he's doing in terms of he's a gambler, just generally speaking.
On a day-to-day,
day-to-day job is to gamble money, but then he's also gambling outside of work. He's gambling his colleagues' money. But what was really interesting as well is that the intersection of class, and we see that in some of the times. I think there was a time where he was with Vinay and they were walking. It was like episode, start of episode 4. And then the guy's like, what are you guys doing?
Like, I'm
a fucking puppet, you cunt. Like,
which he talks like you.
Yeah. I felt a familiar voice in the room. It was really good.
It wasn't even that legit.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Right? Right. He doesn't even say cunt.
I had it in there, I can't lie to you. You got me. I had it in there. I really enjoyed that sort of the race and the politics, which race isn't necessarily like a big thing in the industry, but when it's touched upon in a way which isn't in your face but still quite profound, which is really cool.
I really enjoyed the Lambo scenes. I feel like he's like
so excessive, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like them being like, could you keep it down, basically, and then being like,
fuck that guy
shagging his wife.
Yo, fuck that guy.
Yeah, you're insane. Yeah.
Do you know what scene I really enjoyed? Yeah, and I think because I saw it on Twitter before I actually watched the episode. It's the new people that are brought onto the floor. The Moroccan Arabic boy. And then it's Yasmin. Like, obviously, she understands Arabic and she understands different dialects. And she knows exactly what that boy says.
Yeah, 100%.
But like, she obviously speaks bare languages. So him like chatting away about Rishi in the back here. What did he say? Yeah. What the fuck did he say? Yasmin, you know,
yeah,
she's like, I don't speak Moroccan Arabic.
Yeah.
I just, there's something really like, there's something I really enjoyed about that interaction. I was like, this is written so well. Mm. And the camera keeps like panning like back to Yaz. And then Yaz is just like, I don't speak Moroccan Arabic. I don't, oh no, it sounds similar to this, but like her breaking away. And then, but him, like Rishi still like being frantic. And then the guy in the corner kind of just sat there.
Just like chill, like, yeah.
Kind of being like, and he puts the phone to his chest and says something else in Arabic again. He goes back to the call. Mm.
Is he not laughing when he does it as well?
Yeah.
And it's just, there's a real fun like, power play in that whole interaction, and I was like, this is really funny. Like, this is written so well, it's actually really jokes.
Yeah, but what's really, I think I really enjoy the way that Rishi kind of embodies the risk, reward, and the moral compromises of the entire series.
Yeah.
And like, he's so willing to essentially potentially throw his colleague's money away just to make some money back, and the way you can spiral and continue to spiral. Like, when he went back, he's so.
Oh man, just honest. So he is at the casino, he's won the money. He's gone to the bar or the club or wherever, and he's holding this money in this envelope.
Put it under the.
I can't lie, I thought the money was gone at that point. And that's what I think, that's another thing that I love about this show.
Panning to the camera.
It was so fast paced. I couldn't breathe during that scene. I could not breathe.
I couldn't watch.
I was like, I had to take a walk. I had to pause the show. I took a second. I came back. He got the money. I said, thank God, he's going home now. Went straight back. I said, for fuck's sake. I think that's one of. It's one of the reasons why, obviously, I really like the episode. But I think the thing about Rishi that I like the most, especially in how it plays to like the rest of the show, it's just so inevitable. Like, it was never going to go any other way. Like, no matter how I wanted it to go, when we see the way he is on a day-to-day, when we see how he is on the floor, it's like, it was only ever going to go that way. Yeah. I think that's why I like that episode, but the show so much. I feel like that's the case with a lot of the characters. But yeah, man, great scene.
One thing about the episode, again... Glazing writers one more time, yeah.
if you context that one more time.
Yeah, sorry. I love how they set the tone from, you're really comfortable right now.
I am, honestly. The hot chocolate, the socks, I'm like.
Yum.
That's cool. Yeah. I love when we're like, within the first minute of the episode.
You like, shouting in the mic, right?
Huh?
Yeah.
Was he shouting in the mic?
Yeah. That's how he opens this episode.
Opens up with him talking in the mic.
So it's more so, and he was talking about the betting stuff, and then he sees Robin asking him for the $2,000 so forth. I don't know if you listened to the voicemail, but I sent a voicemail within like 3 minutes of listening, of watching the first episode. I was like, oh, I really appreciate the fact that they're showcasing that essentially Vishy Job is just a gambler.
Yeah.
That's all he does. And that's what the whole episode was about in gambling. And again, like, I really appreciate that. Within the first few minutes of the episode, they gave us the tone of the episode and essentially, like, foreshadow exactly what the episode is going to be about and how it's going to end based on within the first few seconds. But yeah, great writing.
Do you think Rishi's good at his job?
Yeah.
You do, yeah.
100%.
I feel like job requires that level of, like, risk-taking.
Risk-taking, overconfidence.
Yeah.
Because even him, like, to the very last second being like...
He's a great salesman, by
the way. And then... Oh, he's so good.
And then he shoots up and then he's like, yeah, everyone's selling me euros. And it's like, oh, thank God. Because that could have gone, like, they're about to kick him out.
He's a twanger.
Yeah. He was betting the best against the pound?
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah. Damn!
But it sounds like you got balls.
Fucking hell, you know?
One other character we can talk about before we just talk about the season as a whole, Eric Tao.
Yeah.
Eric. Okay.
I hate Eric.
Before, from the beginning. Before we get into our Eric hate, one thing that I do appreciate about Eric and his consistency, that he actually does care about the work that he does.
Pierpoint is his life.
Pierpoint is his life.
It's gone.
Sorry, not even Pierpoint being life, but actual, like, the integrity of how you do your job is actually important to him.
That's fair.
Like, the issue that he had with Harper in terms of the... Like, I get what he did to Harper was a bit nasty, but I understood why. I think it was fearful in terms of what Harper could potentially do.
Yeah.
The insider trading stuff was a bit too over the line for him, and that's why he got sacked, I believe. The issue that he had with Yasmin in terms of her getting the paparazzi to take the picture of them to essentially influence the market, it was like, bro, you can't do shit like that.
Mm-mm.
Like, he actually cares. He has a level of integrity in terms of the job that he does.
Right.
But yeah, I'll give it over to you guys because you guys hate Eric.
I think Eric's just a piece of shit.
Can I just talk about one of the funniest scenes? Is when I think Yasmin walked out. It was the three of them. Yasmin, her lawyer, and Eric.
Mm.
But I think the following scene is when she was like, she said something like, you're an old man. I was like, you know,
I
think like three episodes later, he's with the prostitute.
Was I good?
Yeah. Brilliant. And she had a
bunda. Did I fuck like a young man?
Focus, guys, man. She had a bunda the whole golly, man.
Sorry, man. Anyway, yeah.
Golly. Yeah.
Golly.
Hey, man. I don't lust after white woman, but industry have given me a few, which I am. I'm not ashamed. Fuck it, I'm not ashamed. I'm questioning myself. I don't know what's going on.
So what's going on here?
There's a few that industry have given me. It's like, you know what?
Name them.
What's your top three?
Yasmin.
Yeah.
Top one.
Eric's thing.
Okay.
He's the escort.
Yeah. She was all right.
Yeah, she had the perk.
And that's more than enough. Two is a lot.
Yeah.
Two is free.
Now, Eric's a great character, though, and I really enjoy, as you guys, I think we spoke about it before with Eric and his relationship with Harper. He sees a lot of himself in her, which is also why he's very much threatened by who she could go on to be.
Yeah.
So when she's like a rival now, the scene in episode four.
When he won't look in her eyes at all.
Episode five, when he wasn't looking at her.
Yeah, it's.
That smile is.
That is one of my favorite scenes of TV ever.
Do you know, it's Harper just being like, she sat there and like.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Menace.
Level of power.
Absolute menace.
That's why I loved Harper so much. I was just like, there's something about the women that are so powerful in that show.
But they
take it a bit too far, and I love it. Just take it a time.
Yeah.
But her being like, you know you need me, basically. Like,
yeah.
Eric, your face is shining.
You've got glitter on your face. Like, look at you. Look at the state of you.
I'm telling you, not even Thanos has a better scene than that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
It was a great scene.
Harper's really a villain in that scene.
That is one of my favourite scenes of TV ever.
So good.
It is. I can't lie.
You're fair.
I think it is.
Fair.
I think that's my favourite scene in the industry. Because it speaks so much of Harper as she's a person and the relationship that she has with Eric and how much she just switched the board. Because, and there's also, sorry, not to move from Eric, back to Rishi and Harper, the scene at the end of episode 8 when Rishi tries to leave the room and he can't because the door is locked.
But sweet people fall.
Yeah.
Opens the door.
Yeah.
But obviously that scene also reminds me of Harper and Eric when Eric locks the door.
Yep.
I think it was purposely done, but it just showcased the level of powers that they didn't have. But yeah, anyway, sorry.
No,
Eric.
We hate his guts. Like, that's it.
Why though?
You're not bad bitches.
I think one reason why I hate him, if we talk to when he fired Harper.
Yeah.
I think, of course, we can all say like, oh, Eric saw where she was going and whatever. But the way I saw that was that, like, ain't no fun when the rabbit gets the gun. Like, it just seemed like Harper's now the person doing what you would do. And
but you wouldn't
sudden,
do that. That's the thing.
But my thing is, okay, I hear that, yeah? But my thing is, like, the scene that they had when obviously it came to light that Harper actually hadn't graduated and, you know, it felt like in that moment, okay, my impression when I was watching the show, let's start from there. When I watched the first season, it kind of felt like whatever was going to happen throughout the show, it was going to be Harper and Eric locked in with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when she'd come to him in confidence, or when it had come to be that he found out that she didn't actually graduate, I never thought that he was going to use that against her. So when that happened, I was just kind of like, do you know what? First of all, fuck you for real. Like, yeah, like, sorry, what are we doing here? Yeah, it could have been done in so many different ways. And if you realise, if you truly, truly realise that that's exactly it. If you felt like it was down to the insider training, then you should have gone and just reported her for insider trading. You shouldn't have now turned around.
The reason why you couldn't do that because it would have fucked up your point. That's why.
Oh, fair.
That's why, because they had a conversation. They said that how much of an effect it will have on Pierpoint. I don't blame him for that. I can't lie to you. I don't. Because I can see the fear in his eyes.
But
in
terms of,
who
are case,
you going to be if you keep doing this?
Because he should have told her.
Exactly. I mean, if that's the case, you should have said something.
But he didn't say
okay.
Walked her down to go and get fired. And
you made it seem like they were good.
No. They had a conversation. But okay, think about it. Think about you saying that to Harper. Do you honestly believe, in your heart and heart, you tell her that you shouldn't do that? That's bad.
No.
It's going to have an effect.
No,
on
the walk down. After the fact.
No,
yeah,
on the walk
exactly.
down to that place when they're kikiing and almost like he's being really quiet and reserved, but like she's bubbly and trying to
she's having
to
a great
like,
time.
Oh, come on. That's lying. Nah. You're not nitpicking.
The least you can fucking do is be like, by the way, I'm taking you to go get fired just so you know, like what you did was crazy.
What difference does that make?
No, there's no point.
Give her the little bit of joy before she dies.
No, but my thing is like, don't like make.
Don't make it seem like you're.
Don't make it seem like we're good,
bro. Yeah.
But if you
Eric,
that's on Harper. If you remember that scene, Eric's not being jolly. You can see that he's very upset. You can see he's very down.
I didn't think he would upset that you're gonna get me fired.
Yeah,
bro.
But it,
God, we have an understanding.
He's not matching the energy. She's bare talking.
But we have an understanding, like, no.
But he's
no.
doing his job, he's but, being professional. I'm
no,
sorry,
that's
nah,
fine.
Bro.
Okay, I hear that. But
I get you
know
guys
what?
Hate Eric, but nah.
No, Eric.
But that's not the only reason. He's done lots of things. But if we let's not go too far.
Bringing his youths to the workplace. I hate Eric.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not even looking after them.
He didn't bring his youths to the workplace.
They were brought. Because he wasn't looking after them.
Because he'd be a piece of shit, yeah.
All right, then.
No, but, I agree, he's a piece of shit.
Okay, fine, fine. So we don't... So
take Yasmin's name out your mouth.
Yasmin's a piece of shit, bro. Look how shit is Robert.
No.
Yeah, yeah, not too much. Yeah, no, come on, man.
Look how shit is Robert.
Robert enjoys that. He enjoys
he's
it.
He's a victim.
No.
In season one...
He enjoys being, like, her sub. I don't think he's victim. No, we're not. What are we gonna do?
It's definitely as a result of being a victim.
It is, man.
She
takes the piss. No, come on.
But she doesn't take
the
piss.
She has to be objective, my G.
She does take the piss.
I don't think she takes the piss. I feel like their sexual preferences are as
Robert,
a result of their trauma.
Robert, that's unfair. Robert woke up to a dead woman next to him. He's having a breakdown.
Yeah, he's fine.
He rings Yasmin. Like, essentially breaking down, and she tells the nigga, get the fuck off my phone.
No, that's not fair. Because he didn't say what was wrong. Yeah. Okay, you call me, and you're like, hey, and I'm like, yeah, okay, what's going on?
Okay, Casey, come on. If somebody rings you in the morning, not in a weird time, and she knows there's something wrong, because what's wrong? Why are you calling me at this time? Like, you know there's something wrong. You're not going to react so unkind to somebody.
No, man,
still the piss, still the piss.
Is he not saying anything? Because my issue with Robert is that he doesn't speak up enough, yeah? Which already is like, it's a problem across the board since season one. But in season three, it pissed me off even more because Yasmin looks awful because she's like, almost didn't help her friend. But how is she also to know? She's going through shit as well.
Yeah, no.
You're calling me, doing the hey, babe. Like, pretty much like, hey, girl, you're okay? Yeah. You just got a sad voice on. But also, you're mopey the whole show.
If your mate rings you at like 8 a.m., out of nowhere, never rings you there. No. You know that something's wrong. You're saying, what is wrong?
And you don't use your words? What when I've already got a really high next day, what can I physically
and
do?
Bro, let's not forget.
When we finish,
Rob
this,
was
when
addicted
this
to drugs. No. Let's actually think about it, yeah. We have to think about how Rob acts on a night out, yeah? On a regular. Yeah.
No, he stopped drinking then.
Yes, but he it's nothing for me to have a bad night.
In season one, Rob went to prison because of her. He got arrested because of her. Because he had to help her.
Yeah,
nah,
but,
man. I'm sorry.
Why did you have to trust her?
And I feel like...
You're sick, you know.
Yeah, okay.
No, I didn't see it that way, man.
You're right, I didn't see it that way.
I'm so sorry.
Because you're not a good woman.
Who?
You.
Golly.
Golly.
Eric's out.
Golly. Yeah, anyway, Eric.
Yeah, fuck Eric, man.
For real.
Nah, I fuck with Eric's. He's a piece of shit, though.
Gave her a nice reference to Forbes on the 30 as well.
I can't remember what it was, but that reference was backhanded.
Yeah, so?
Yeah.
It was very backhanded.
Yeah, so?
It was like ruthless, but something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, nah. I just don't really. I
get the dislike for Eric. I hear it.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
I'm happy that things worked out the way that they did in season three.
He got his payback.
Yeah, truly. What did you guys think about when he
fucked finally, you're asking questions. Look at you being a yapper for the first time.
She was getting
What do you think about so obviously he's made partner. I don't really know what's going on, but yeah. What did you think about that scene where he used the guy's prognosis?
I would say
this is what we need to do.
Outside of what Nicole did and outside of what Yasmin's dad did, I think that's the worst thing anyone's ever
so
done.
Foul. That was really bad.
Adler was also No.
1000%. Adler's a piece of shit.
Adler's a piece of shit.
Because he used his words against him, didn't he? Yeah, at the end of the day,
He was going to snake. Eric.
Yeah.
He was going to snake Eric. Flip it out. He was going to snake Eric. But the way that Eric did that,
it was foul. Man.
I can't lie to you. That is foul, bro.
Yeah,
even if he was going to snake you, you can't do that to him. You can't make him doubt his own diagnosis. That was crazy. 100%. I think that's the worst thing outside of what Nicole and Yasmin Dunn have done in the whole show.
Really?
Yeah, no,
that's quite a...
Because that's actually
talk to
awful.
Me.
No, it's
your
real.
Friend
no.
told you he's been diagnosed with cancer.
Yes,
and you're,
yeah.
You're retesting him.
It made him doubt himself.
Even him being like... That's the thing he does. He's super patronising as well, yeah? I feel like, do you know what it is? I feel like you see Eric's in like, your everyday life. That's why it pisses me off.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He's so patronising. And it's so frustrating. And then him being like, it's fine.
Yeah,
like,
don't worry. It's sorted. You're sick.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah,
100%. Hate him.
Yeah, 100%.
I think that speaks like the world, the industry and the finance world creates where there's like an ambition drive and self-purpose drive ahead of everything and anyone else, no matter what. And like, no matter the relationship you can have with somebody, so Adler was his mentor, right? No matter how much I've known you and I've grown under you, we've worked together, it's myself versus you. Self-serving thing, you know what I'm saying? You see the same thing with Harper fucking up Yasmin in season three. I believe she's done so throughout the whole three seasons. Like, Yasmin's fucked over Robert, I'm sure. Like, that's the self-serving sort of segment of this whole series, and the look into the gaze of like that, what finance world can do to you, where it can take you to as a person.
Can I also just say something? I just remembered, you just reminded me, yeah? I don't feel like when Eric got Harper fired, I didn't, at the time when I was watching it, I didn't see it because of the insider trading thing. I saw it because Harper had Jesse Bloom and he, and she, like, it looked like she was up on him. That's how I saw it when I was watching it.
I think that's there.
That's why I felt like, exactly. Why I felt the way I felt. It wasn't about like, oh yeah, you know, Eric didn't tell her that he was going to fire her. It was about the fact that it didn't feel like it was because, you know what? Above all else, I'm a stand-up guy and I don't stand for insider trading. No, I didn't feel like he cared about the job like that. I think he saw himself in her and saw that, do you know what? She could do me the way I'm about to go and do Adler in season three. And he wasn't having it. That's what I imagine.
I think there's a duality to it, man.
I think there's definitely more insider trading. And the reason why I say that is because, as you said, he feels like Pierpoint is above all. Him firing her makes no sense for the goodness of Pierpoint, because she could go to another company and still have Bloom as a client. I think it is literally about the insider trading.
No.
I think he's I don't disagree with the fact that he might have a level of jealousy in terms of the relationship that she had with Bloom.
Definitely
100%. Yeah, there's definitely a level of jealousy there. But I don't think any of that, the firing, would have happened if it wasn't for the insider trading. I think that really rocked him. And I think we've seen that throughout the whole season, in terms of like, there's a level of integrity that you need to have when it comes to trading. And I think we've seen that with him throughout the season. So his decision of getting a fire at the end of season two makes sense to me.
But then when Yasmin doesn't want to boogie with you, go to the toilet and you move mad.
But I don't think he was trying to move
insane,
to her.
By the way.
I don't think
he
was trying
to... Why was he all rock hard and needing to release? I don't understand that.
I think that maybe that part just turned him on. But I genuinely think Yasmin talking to him like that might have turned him on.
100%.
But I don't think what he was trying to say to her was him trying to move to her.
I think
she misread it.
Then it speaks to how she always viewed how men.
I don't think she misread it.
I don't think he was trying to fuck her.
I think given opportunity, he would have. I don't think it was his pure intention.
No, I think
if it was
in that particular
table,
moment, I think he was on it. I can't.
No,
really?
I think you need to rewatch it. I think in that scene, and even like afterwards when he fires her, is that, I think that's what he was trying to tell her. He's trying to have a conversation with her, like, because Adler's been putting pressure on her. He said,
from the first episode, he wanted her gone.
But even in early in the episode,
and he got rid of Kenny instead.
Even early on that episode, Adler was like, "Oh, yeah, are we sure that we should have somebody like this working for us?"
Yeah.
And I think that's the conversation we want to have. Maybe not fire, but saying like, "Bro, there's been putting pressure on me in terms of your value for the company versus what the issues that you bring."
Why do you think Eric kept her instead of Kenny?
There's a reason. What happened in season first episode? She done something in the first episode that made her keep her.
It was
shame. It was shame from Eric because he had to stay with Kenny because of his alcohol problem. Not alcohol problem. Yeah, alcohol problem. And then when he invited Kenny, he's like, "Me and you are not the same." That's what it was. It was shame on Eric's part in terms of the fact that he had to rely on Kenny and his wife when he had alcohol problems, and he just felt a level of shame. That's why he fired him specifically.
Yeah, I don't think it was like an actual decision that he wanted to make. I think it was a spur of the moment thing, but I don't remember the episode to say for sure. But it didn't, when I watched it, it didn't feel like it was like, "This is actually who I wanted to fire." It was just in that moment, Kenny had said something like, "Oh, I support you," or "I'm here."
Yeah.
He was like, "No, fuck that shit. Anyway, you can go." So I felt like it was more that than anything else. But yeah, fuck Kenny, man.
Yeah,
I didn't like Kenny either.
We have yapped.
Oh my god,
have we?
Yeah, no, and this is great. Wait,
are you not hearing Kenny's redemption arc?
No, I don't care, bro.
I think he's overcompensating.
Oh, can you come to my thing?
Fuck out of it! Like, what am I doing there? Come on, bro.
I feel like he's overcompensating. It does feel a bit false, but I think it's meant to feel false because he's overcompensating.
Yeah.
We're meant to believe he's not being true, and I think he was, and I think we see that throughout season three in the brief moments we see him. But he moves to that place where Daria's working, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it okay? With everything, yeah, I love that. With everything that Kenny did in season one,
yeah, 100%.
Everything that Kenny did in season one, is there any redemption for him?
I don't care.
You don't care.
Yeah, that's the point. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care.
Fair.
I think there's something about like, yeah, okay, fine. You do all of these bad things, and you think, just because you feel better about it, I'm supposed to feel better about it. And that's not how it works. Because it left a lasting effect. It left a lasting effect on you guys.
If you're giving yourself, that's great. But what? Give me a time to forgive you. Like, you're inviting me to things. Stop doing all that.
Come out of here, man.
Stop being in my space.
Give me a chance to grow and move past it. Like,
let me forgive you in my own time, if I do. Yeah.
Don't put me on a clock. That's so dumb. And also, I think inviting her to his thing, yeah, I understand why he thinks it's the right thing to do, but you can actually fuck off.
Yeah. You can. No, for real. I think my thing was, it was like, Kenny had gotten over what he was going through, but even down to the way that Yaz was treating Venetia, like, it, when I say it left a lasting effect, like, it's something that Yaz will take to somebody else, and someone will take that to somebody else. And she really, really did. And so it's like, it's cool that you got over your situation.
And the way she changed from season two to season three, it's a ripple effect.
I really like her character as well. I like how she was written into the show. Yeah, really well, man. Yeah.
The writers, they
did their big one, bro. They did their big one still. They ate.
Just say yourself. They ate. You got me. Fucking hell, man.
Are we going to... Okay, no.
Go on, ask the question.
Are we going to talk about the last episode yet?
Let's do it.
Everyone want to pull up?
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, go on.
Okay, the last episode, guys.
It's one of the best final episodes I've ever seen.
Ever.
So, interestingly, we're in a group chat of different guys that talk about Film TV. I'm one of our associates, I'd say.
Not associates, Charles.
Yeah, you're not.
Even I felt left out. I have no reason to be wrong.
Neither of you are coming to the group chat.
Okay.
You don't want to. But he said that it was the most mediocre ending of the two, of the three seasons. And I was like,
that's a classless person. You shouldn't be talking to people like that.
And what did he say? He said that, like, season three is the worst out of them.
Yeah.
Remove him. And I can't be in there. Remove him.
Guy said, that's the best season. And then I replied, I said it. And guys replied. And he said, the echo chamber thing. And they go, get the fuck out of my face. I didn't reply. I moved on.
Push me off.
If you're listening, get the fuck out of my face.
I know him. I know what he's like. Yeah. You know what he's like.
Yeah.
You have to ignore certain things.
Yeah.
When he does that. Yeah. But I think season three's ending was phenomenal. It did numerous things. It closed out that particular arc for certain characters in terms of Pierpoint. Mm-hmm. It made me feel a way in terms of Robert and Yasmin. But I'm really intrigued to see where they take Robert's character for season four.
Yeah.
Yasmin gets a sort of a final sort of closure, I guess, for now at least, in terms of like the whole media thing and the whole like the media glaze. And
She
has to sort of submit to someone that essentially is like a mirror effect of her father, which is like sad in one sense, but great for her in another. So it leaves you feeling that duality of like, I'm really happy for her, but she's still stuck in
the and so
cycle.
It continues. Continues.
And then Rishi and his wife just
gone. That whole...
It shook me up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, I've got a rule, at the end of each season, I feel like the episode should be a time and a half or time and a bit.
Mm-mm-mm.
Like, it can never just be 20, 30 minutes. Give me more. So, it was 70 minutes, and I saw that, and I said...
We're in for a treat.
We're in for a treat. After the montage plays and Rob drives away, that really could be the end of the episode.
Then
Eric walks back into Pearpoint,
With his bat.
Everything just starts to unravel and it just gets more and more intense and I'm like whoa and then
it puts you into like a moment of calm because you just think they're sitting there talking like another deal.
If then the music starts playing
but I swear even after that scene with Rob where he's in the car, I swear there's like a long pause. I thought it was finished.
It was black for a little bit.
Literally the first thing is Eric is like walking through and he's only his head and I'm like, yo, this is positioned impeccably. Like, this is so good. And it just gets more and more intense.
It was great. It was great.
Xing off his wife is the most insane thing ever.
It was fantastic.
I loved it.
I didn't see it coming.
So good.
I remember I hate her, but I didn't see it coming.
Why do you hate her?
She's annoying.
Well, why would you try to turn me on and tell me that some guy you used to fuck with ages ago.
Oh, but guys, they're sick. Don't you understand? They're tapped. They're tapped as a people.
What they love about sex, we can't even.
That's
whatever. They'll be
fucking
in different weird ways. We gotta let them go, man.
That's whatever. Robert's
eating his cum, guys. There's nothing we can
do. Where do we draw the line, guys? Yeah. You know what I mean?
There is no line.
I just feel like for her character, I think the only thing that I ever got from her character was that she was Rishi's husband and wife, and also the fact that. Lost my train of thought. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, thank you. Even when at the end of the scene of Rishi's episode, where she was like, oh yeah, I heard brown people need more vitamin D.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, you're so out of touch, and that's fine, and that's who you are.
Wait, what's that out of touch though? By her saying that?
I'm just like, bro.
You're about to marry.
Come on, like.
And you didn't know that. You didn't know that melanin required more vitamin D.
I don't know. I just felt like it was just their way of showing that, like, they're just completely different. And also, like, I don't know. I just felt like she just felt really out of touch. Like those typical white people that kind of view people of color as just like this other thing that you kind of need to research, whatever. Anyway, that's how I viewed her. So in that scene, I swear they're separated anyway at that point, right?
No, at that point, they were, where we saw them, because Rishi was living by himself in that flat.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were divorced, but they were at least definitely separated.
Yeah, they were separated at that point.
For his birthday.
Yeah. I didn't expect...
Imagine coming over to see your ex-man's boyfriend.
And that's the last that you see. Say goodbye. I did not expect it at all. It was really, really good. But again, like I said, inevitable. It couldn't have gone any other way, I feel.
Yeah, and it's also like watching Sweet Pea get the job that he should have got, quote-unquote.
No. Sweet Pea didn't get the job he should have got. The other Asian guy got the job that he should have got.
Yes, my brother. Yeah.
But like, basically, Harper bringing Sweet Pea in as like it was a power thing again.
Yeah, 100%.
When Harper sits there with her legs crossed, and it's like, you don't even have this much power.
Look at you smiling.
But you are... Yeah, I do like it. That's not gonna lie. There's something about the power.
Purr.
Again, what I said earlier, back to the writers, in terms of like the women in the show, how much agency that actually give them in comparison to other shows and other writers.
Don't see that.
We don't.
You remember every time you bring up like black shows, I feel like black women are always written like quite lazily, and it's really sloppy, and it's like they're the afterthought.
Yeah.
And they're almost there to balance it out. You know what I mean? Like, let's just see how
Harper's people are like great examples of.
And I think it's the way Harper's written, especially.
Yeah.
I think that's why I loved her character so much, and it was always so hard for me to be like, you can be a bit.
Yeah.
You can do so.
You can choose.
Like, exactly. But I'm telling you guys, I'm choosing
because you're a piece of shit as well.
It's even like when I've seen I've seen someone tweet in terms of like, you can't hate Harper Stern, but love Walter White, and I absolutely hear it. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Walter White is a piece of shit. He does really shitty things, but he's still a great character. The same with Harper Stern, obviously. Different metrics, but they're all both pieces of shit, and they do just great things.
I know it's not the same because I don't think you guys have watched it. It's the same with Oz. When you think about Oz as a person,
yeah,
he's a piece of shit, but there's a charisma to his character where you're like, he's still drawn to who he is, right? I think speaks to great writing, great villains.
Yeah, but I think like again, shout out to the writers. It's good that we get to see, because I can't really name you many shows where women are this bad, but you still love them.
But this is my thing.
Shonda Rhimes does it.
Yeah, that's
she's the only person that writes women, gay people, and just people that are meant to be that always the
supporting character. Yeah.
As like, they can be really shitty people. Like Cyrus Bean is an awful human being.
Awful piece of work.
But he's like the lead gay person.
Cyrus Bean.
Nasty.
Do you know what I mean?
Piece of work.
Manny. Or even Thingy in...
I will watch Scandal. I will.
Oh, you haven't watched it yet?
I will do that.
When you start watching, I will rewatch.
Yeah. Okay. I'm due for a rewatch.
Oh, you're rewatching now?
Yeah.
Let me slow down. And I promise.
When you watch, we're going to put together.
I promise. By the time
Am I invited?
Yes.
Thanks.
By the time we go to Cottage, I will start.
You should have been finished.
No, it's not
a month.
Let's keep it real. I'm gonna finish with
that.
By the time we go to Cottage, I'll start.
You need 12 days, bro. Yeah, that's all I need.
That's one of the
It's up there.
I know. I heard. Do you know what it is? It's because it's so long. It's kind of like overwhelming a bit.
Yeah.
How many seasons?
Six.
But the first season only has 8 episodes.
You don't need.
Yeah, but then it's 24 plus, no.
You don't need to worry about getting to the 24 episodes. Just start with the first.
Okay.
Because the first one gets you immediately.
Have you watched How to Get Away with Murder?
I watched the first 3 seasons.
Jesus.
What made you stop?
I get why you stopped.
I just wasn't loving it as much. I didn't dislike it.
It has a dive.
I didn't dislike it. I just didn't love it as much.
So did you finish it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like if I go to rewatch it, I will start from the beginning. I'll start from season 3.
Okay.
Like the difference between that and like Insecure, I got to like episode 8. Season 4 Insecure, I stopped watching it.
Why?
Because I love it so much.
Real. You know what?
I got to the episode of Izza and Lawrence, the little date night.
Oh, that's one of the best shows.
It's one of the best episodes I've ever watched on TV, and I stopped watching
it. So good.
Only because I already know like what's going to happen.
How do you think it's going to end?
I know it's going to end, but I already know that he has it.
But how do you think it's going to end?
I don't know. I know it's not going to end up back together.
You don't think they're going to end up back together?
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. It makes zero sense for them to get back together.
Yeah, fair.
And I already know that he has, that's already been spoiled for me.
Fair.
I already kind of know that part. I don't want to carry on. I will.
You got to see it through.
No, I'm going to because
I got to see it through, my boy.
It's one of the best. It's like, it might be my top 10 of all time.
It's so good.
It might be my top. It might be my top 5.
I wish I put number 1 when we asked us in the thing.
It's a great. It's written so well. But anyways, is it HBO? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Come on, man.
Have you guys watched Rap Shit yet?
No, but fuck that nigga.
Is it good? Got cancelled though, no?
Yeah.
Let's get some closing.
Oh my goodness, guys! Sorry, completely unrelated. East is producing a movie with SZA and Keke Palmer. Please tell me you've seen that.
It's already out.
I haven't.
No, it's out.
It's out January.
Yeah.
What's it called? Let me get a gauge. What?
No.
Is it good?
It looks like it's going to be really good. It's going to be everything.
I'm going to watch it. Let's do a group watch.
One of those days.
Okay.
Let's do a group watch.
I'll listen to it. Okay. I'm going to write to that as well.
Cineworld. Okay. Cineworld card.
No, I don't have a Cineworld card, bro.
But you love film. Get it.
Yeah, all right. I mean,
we'll pattern the screening.
We'll pattern the
screening. Thank you.
Yeah,
don't worry. We'll pattern you for the screening. Thanks, guys.
Closing thoughts. Because I just got a.
I feel like we haven't talked about it enough.
Yeah, I forgot what to say.
Oh, you said.
I've got bears to say.
Go on, let's continue then.
I don't know where to start, man.
We've got 40 minutes on the card.
We still got games to do.
Yeah, we've got games. What games are I saying?
Yeah.
I've kind of gone through the episode plan, so now this is kind of like. Random thoughts and free for alls.
Let me have a think.
Is there any characters that we've missed out that we of talking about?
The other guy on the desk for Rishi,
the Asian guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
His nervousness annoys me a lot.
I know, ma'am.
And I think a show when everyone's so certain or gives the impression that they're so certain in themselves, it really bothers me. I'm like,
almost getting in the way, bro.
I think I like it because it contradicts Rishi quite a lot. Because Rishi's overconfident for no good reason.
But I need you to be like a bit more, like, just take a bit of his, not just a tiny bit. Like, you're so uncertain, constantly uncertain.
And then you see the difference of how he behaved when he was at Future Dawn with Petra and with
Anna.
No, it was Petra and Bib Harper.
Oh, yes.
So it's not Future Dawn, because Future Dawn was Anna.
Yeah.
And they started their own...
I can't remember what it's called, but...
Leviathan?
Yeah, you guys...
He's got two words, yeah.
Thank you.
You could see he had just a bit more of an aura to him.
Yeah.
A bit more confident. I don't think he's meant to be overconfident. I don't think it's who he is. But you can see the difference in who he was under Rishi compared to his time at. Mm. They were dunking on donuts and that coffee and that. They were living their life up, you know what I'm saying?
Compared to people,
it's just like boom, 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 that pressure.
Do you know, I realised he was too comfortable in that setting. And that's when I started to realise he feels so at home here. Harper needs to leave because she can't be in a situation that is that comfortable for anyone.
Mm.
And even her sitting down and being like, and throwing a donut away was so fucking funny.
No one cannot tell me Harper's not a piece of shit.
She's so funny.
That girl came out so courteously as well.
Bro.
She could have just said no. And I guess...
You haven't watched The Wire. You've watched The Wire.
Yeah.
You see that scene, eventually goes back to the guy, the rich guy, and then they talk about the anti-fraud thing. Mm-hmm. When they see him by the bench, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh. At the end of
the season, that reminds me of Marlo in season 5 when he gets released from prison and he goes to a street corner and fights two random dudes. He just loves the game. She loves the game. She loves the rush. That's all she wants.
It's an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, she loves it.
Yeah, this is the part of like banking or finance, whatever they're in, that she can't stand. She can't stand the how certain things can be, and it's just I think she loves the high pressure. Even her excessively chewing gum on the floor moved for the second season, and she always had her headset on, it's because she needs the rush. And I felt like it was nicotine gum, isn't it? Because she started vaping. So it was
that's interesting.
She needs it. She needs that fix. So that place being so calm and chill and Sweet Pea so happy, and she's vlogging her day peacefully and stuff.
I disagree with the Sweet Pea, because again, Sweet Pea getting locked in.
No, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying Sweet Pea's the problem. I'm saying that the space is too calm. It's too calm. I think Sweet Pea's fantastic at her job, but I think the place is too calm and too relaxed, and they can get the job done.
Yeah.
But Harper's not there just to get the job done.
Yeah.
She needs a level of risk.
And that's what we saw at that conference, no?
When she called out everyone.
My word.
What a scene that was.
I did not expect that.
I love the way the camera zoomed on Eric's face.
Yeah.
Oh my. He was cooked.
Yeah.
He was cooked so bad.
I knew she was going to do something. I was like, she wasn't going to do what she was meant to do. She's going to do whatever she wanted to because she saw Eric.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about her, is her being like, I think like hate fuels her.
And oh, that, facts.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And she's 100%. Willing to like go against superiors to get where she mm-hmm. wants to be. She does the same thing with Petra. Petra's like fuming with her.
Mm.
Eric season one and two, it's the same thing. Like she's willing to go up against anyone.
Yeah. I don't think she deems anyone as her superior.
Yeah.
I think it's a level playing field for her and
yep.
everyone.
Yep, yep.
That's why I like her so much, because it's just like,
yeah.
who gives a
bro,
fuck?
But I think, go, yeah, you get the book. Yeah, legit.
But I actually don't think she's necessarily skilled, but the confidence and the belief in yourself is what takes you far enough.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That industry alone. Yeah. I think we see that with Richie. Don't get me wrong, I think Richie's good at his job, but the overconfidence is what got him to being an MD. I don't think the other Asian guy, so respectfully, I forgot his name, I don't think he's ever going to get to that level.
100%.
Just because he lacks that sort of 100%. Aura, self-confidence. Richie will twang you
yeah, 100%.
Into giving you money and you don't even understand why you're giving him
money. Like both of his lying to you as well.
Twanged,
yeah.
Rob, he twanged Eric.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I've got an insider, da, 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 when they win the pub.
Mm-hmm.
He said, take the money.
Take it back. Yeah. Fantastic.
I love the jargon. And the reason, I think you spoke about it before, yeah. but bro, listen, you may not understand anything that they're saying.
But I'd be nervous.
They present it with an aura and a self-confidence in their acting where I'm like, this is high stakes.
Yeah. It sounds serious.
So good.
It sounds like I should be involved.
They're all such good actors.
Who's your favourite actors in the series?
British actors for the win, man. Yasmin.
So Marissa Abella's your number one.
I just want to hit because she's British, but I do think Harper is really good as well.
Hyla Herald.
I think Rob.
Harper isn't British.
Yeah, I'm saying I wanted to put Yasmin first because she's British. Okay. I just said whole like British actors and me to be like, oh, Harper's the best. But I do think Harper might be the best. But I think Yasmin is so good. And her acting is really good in all the languages she speaks, number one. And she's just got like, there's a constant like theme of despair when it comes to her.
Yeah.
And we get that throughout the season, whether she's speaking or not. And Rob, don't get me wrong, I wanted to slap him for a lot of this show. But I think that shows that he's a really good actor.
God, he's so
good. Because
if he
was acting badly, I wouldn't want to slap him.
David Johnson deserves it.
Yeah.
I've really missed him this season, you know.
I can't lie. I feel like Eric might be the best actor.
Ken Leung,
yeah. I think he might be the best one.
Maybe it's because I dislike him.
Maybe.
It could be that.
It's a really good cast to be.
But to be honest, I think they are all brilliant.
Yeah,
they're all great. I don't think there's a weak link. Acting-wise, I don't think there's a single weak link.
I don't think that's the case at all. I really did miss Gus.
Yeah.
I think he was the only one, yeah, that you could, I think most people say.
He's actually good.
He's a good person for the most part. Other than him.
I forgot that he was smashing that's the weirdest thing that he's done.
Actually, no. That's weird. Who's meant to be tutoring on him, then you're smashing him, then you go to
the age gap.
Yeah, you go to study dad that he can get into
a son. Yeah.
Come on,
I'm just saying it because he's a black Tory, but yeah. Like, oh, that is
also. It's not Tory.
No, he's apolitical.
He works for Tories, but he's not.
He's not a Tory.
He's not a Tory.
He's an opportunist.
Yeah.
In like a, I come from power, I come from money.
Yeah.
And even his arc was so. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Gus quickly. I loved his arc.
See that scene in the church with his sister?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, when he was getting. When
he was in his.
It wasn't a church. It was a church.
Yeah. He's at Eton.
Yeah.
His brother was graduating, isn't it? Yeah. And what's
his nephew? His nephew. Yeah, because his sister's son. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
No, sister.
I think we're.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
The conversation he had, it said, "Oh, like, our parents looked over your discrepancy." It's like, what discrepancy? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, nigga, you gay.
You know what I did love? Yeah, they didn't make that a whole thing.
Yeah.
At one point, I was like, they're gonna make that. A whole thing.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, his favorite writing arcs, you know, like,
he was moving
with
crazy.
black families being like, "Oh no,
laying off my doll."
No, he was doing too much.
He was moving mad.
And you know, it was the race play at the beginning of the season of season two. It pissed me off a lot.
What happened? Remind me.
Yeah, so he's like that white boy being like, yeah, you're a huge black cock.
Oh.
And the whole thing was like,
oh yeah, the random guy is fucking him. Yeah.
And even he seems a bit uncomfortable, but he's still doing it.
He's still continuing.
And
I was like, yeah.
Brother, get up.
Get up.
Tape it down and get out of there. Like,
yeah, maybe that's his kink.
That's a problem as well.
Oh, yeah, it's problematic.
But you guys are shaming Rob for eating his cum. You guys,
I didn't shame him.
You were right there with him, chair.
Say, I know what I am.
I know what I am.
Yasmin is a bad
fan. Oh, she is.
Yeah, I bet. But look at you. She is.
We actually need women like Yasmin.
Oh, we do.
We need to walk around
100%. Oh, but I miss a woman like that.
Closing thoughts on season three before we get to some games.
Can't wait for season four. That's my favorite.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
bro.
Ending got me, stunned me. Perfect. Yeah, it's really, really good series, man.
Well done to the writers again. Truly. Yeah. Fantastic job.
Amazing.
We've been treated with some great TV in the last few years. Like, Succession, I'm here to say Succession is top three series I've ever watched.
Yeah. I have it as top five.
I just realised recently my friend's dad wrote that.
Oh. Friend's dad wrote it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Abraham Armstrong's.
He's one of them.
Crazy.
What the fuck?
Yeah, because I was out with my friends recently. These are my white friends from school.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I was out with my friends recently. And I was like,
not you saying the son's name.
Big him up.
The thing is, I don't even call him Abraham, I call him Abe.
There's a working film?
I don't think so.
It's just a random.
So he's.
It's full name.
Yeah, that's so crazy, isn't it? Take it out. That sounds crazy because I actually call him Abe. So I remember being like, wait, your dad wrote Black Mirror? Yeah, he wrote that episode of Black Mirror. I was like, wait, Jesse Armstrong is an ending credits of Thingy. That's your dad. He was like, yeah.
Yeah, he created Succession.
I completely forgot. It just slipped my mind. That's what it was.
That's crazy.
I forgot that. Of course, yes, that's your dad. And I was like, damn, man.
Let's do an update.
That's your dad. No, I got something.
Oh, yeah, number one.
Let's do an update top five series of all time.
Oh, do you want to see a industry list?
Industry, nice. Let's play on the top five shows of all time. Let's do it quickly.
Off the top of my head, not going to regret it, but I'm going to hold it. The Wire, Succession, fuck it. Let me throw in Black Mirror, boo. Sons of Anarchy, and Insecure. Let me just do that.
Bro,
Casebook.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
On the top of my head, yeah. First and foremost, Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Okay. Yeah. Saw the list. Breaking Bad.
That's so funny.
It's real. Yeah. Breaking Bad. Succession, mm-hmm. I think. I really want to say Game of Thrones. It's just not
that's it.
Right.
That's it.
I'll say Game of Thrones. And how many is that?
Four.
One
more. Don't
hurt yourself now.
I'm in pain. Yeah. I don't know. Come back to me for the last one.
No. It's right now.
Throw one out.
It's just throw any.
Might be something that you just fling on, like your comfort show.
A comfort show? Yeah. Modern Family.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, real.
That's fine.
Yeah, fantastic.
Got me solo?
Okay, The Wire, The Office.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, The Office.
Had Insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And is that four or five?
Four. You started saying how to, but you
stopped. The Bear is good.
You started saying how to, but you stopped.
Bear's already, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, fair. So guys, yeah, I mean,
Modern Family is not right.
Quick one. You can't do that all thing. You're the last one.
Yeah.
You have to be quick.
Daredevil, but you already know countless times.
Can't explain it, you have to say it.
Mm.
Daredevil, Breaking Bad,
mm-hmm.
Succession,
mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. The Wire.
That's it.
I'm on my rewatch of Sopranos and season one's fucking impeccable.
Yeah, but it can't be involved with Resident Evil.
It's just a conversation now.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're talking about it. Got it.
I have the box set, I need to start watching it.
It's really fucking
good. Yeah,
I want to watch Sopranos.
Yeah.
Sopranos or Scandal? What am I watching first, Con?
I think because
Scandal.
Us as a group.
Oscars.
Scandal.
Oscars.
I think because
that's
us as a group.
Crazy.
Oh, so Soprano. Still late.
I think us as a group.
It's too late because you said Scandal, I'm doing Soprano. I'm not Soprano.
I think you've got lots of time for Sopranos. It's a great series, but I think Sopranos is, but Scandal, because of the...
Yeah. But because she said Scandal so many times, I watched Sopranos first.
We're going to get into some games, but you'll see that later on in the episode. Firstly, a round of applause for our guest, Case. Okay.
Yes! Listen,
you're coming back. This was a great yap.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It was fantastic.
I would have liked you to ask more questions, though. Next one.
Do you know what? I didn't really know like what type of time we was going to be on.
Fine.
I didn't know. I thought maybe Gaz was asking the questions.
No, it's just the right amount of questions.
Thank you, darling. Thank you so much. Next time I'll come.
Even
don't worry.
Even though she called you a white woman earlier.
Huh? What? No, next time I'll come. I'll ask some questions.
Conversation thing more than just like me asking you.
All right, sweet. Wait me. Next one. I'll be there.
100%.
But yeah, this was really, really fun, man.
It was.
Yeah, it was good fun.
He always has fun when horses not here. He hates Sam.
Hold here, man. Come on.
He's going to listen to this episode.
Of course he is.
You hate your family.
I definitely don't.
We're a post-credit scene podcast for NHQ Original, Lovers of Film, TV, and Theatre. And over and out, man. You know the vibes.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post-Credit Scene.